Well, it's good to be here tonight. Miscommunication at all, still a blessing, and I'm glad to be here. And I don't know, you all might not want me back after tonight. Be like, I don't know, about 2 weeks straight. But hopefully if the Lord, our family is going full throttle again, trying to for the Lord with our ministry, and there might be an appointment next Sunday night, we're not for certain, but if not, I plan on being here, but I thank God for the opportunity every time to share the good news. That's what the gospel is. It's the good news that we were unworthy, undeserving, but God, through His rich, merciful grace, reached further down than what we could reach up, and I'm glad that I'm saved. Made a part of a heavenly family. If you have your Bibles tonight, I'd like for you to go to the book of Revelation, the 21st chapter. This evening it was already mentioned, but I'm, as we sung down at Community this morning with for their homecoming, and glad Brother Jerry and Brother Owen and Sister Marcy and Matt and Sammy and Josh come and to be with us tonight. I'm so thankful for that. Most of all, I'm so thankful that He, the sweet Holy Spirit, is in our midst tonight and that I can feel Him. He's everywhere I go because He lives down on the inside of me. And I'm so thankful for that. Before we go to the Scripture tonight, Revelation 21, I'm going to start reading in verse 1 right here in a moment. But I got something I want to share with you. It fits today's times and today's world. Where we're at, and I want you to listen to this. I read it and God impressed me. I want to share it with you tonight. The paradox of our times is that we have taller buildings but shorter tempers, wider freeways but narrower viewpoints. We buy more but enjoy it less. We have bigger houses and smaller families, more conveniences but less time. We have more advanced degrees, but less common sense. More knowledge, but less good judgment. More medicine, but less wellness. We've multiplied our values and reduced our trusts. We have higher incomes and lower morals. We've been all the way to the moon and back, but we have trouble crossing the street to visit a new neighbor. We've conquered outer space, but inner space is still a mystery to millions of us. We have cleaned up the air, but we have polluted the soul. Split the atom, but not our prejudices. We talk too much, love too seldom, and hate too often. These are times of steep profits, more leisure, but less fun. Two incomes, but more divorce. It's a time when there is much in the show window and nothing in the stockroom. A time when technology can bring a letter to you in seconds, and you can choose to either make a difference or just hit delete. Well, that's America. That's the world where we're at. Think we're getting smarter. Think we're getting better. I say that often. You can have more degrees than Fahrenheit. But if you ain't got Jesus, that's not good English, but if you ain't got Jesus, you ain't got nothing. He's everything. Revelation chapter 21, I'll just stand before you as long as God wants me to. I'll be like that old black evangelist said. Just get up, speak up, and then shut up. And while I'm up, that I pray that He'll fill my mouth with worthwhile stuff tonight. Revelation chapter 1, starting in verse number 1, John the Revelator. Revelation 21, he said, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.' And He that sat upon the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And He said unto me, 'Write, For these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain, the water of life freely. You may be seated. That's our reading tonight. If I could have a thought just for the few minutes that I stand before you, it would simply be the believers. Heavenly possessions. The believers' heavenly possessions. We can see where the world and America in particular with the last few weeks and the stock market and the almighty dollar that everyone has put their trust in and put their hope in and put their faith in. And we can see the world starting to reel and starting to rock. But it's nothing new to us that are born again believers. Jesus said that men's hearts would wax cold, that perilous times would come. But I'm glad that my hope tonight, I'm glad that my faith, my trust, that it doesn't rely in Dow Jones or the stock market or the place of my employment, or I don't find my identity in that. But I'm glad tonight that my identity is found in Jesus Christ, that He promised me He would never leave me. He would never forsake me, that He would go with me even unto the end of the world. I'm glad that I am His and that He is mine. And if you have been bought by His blood, Jesus Christ knows your name tonight. He knows you by my name. A lot of people are waiting. Well, I'll praise Him when I get to heaven, but I'm going to enjoy Him on my journey through. I'm glad that I've got something to shout about. Something to be happy about. And I begin to think of the believers' heavenly possessions, of what God gives and what we have in the place that John the Revelator, when he was on the Isle of Patmos. You can read in history where his skin was filleted, where it says that his eyes were even plucked from him. You can read through the Polycarp and with history of that. But I'm glad that they couldn't take his faith. That they couldn't take his vision. They can take a lot of things from us, but I'm glad, Brother Owen, what happened to me on October the 25th, 1990. There's not enough demons, not enough hell, not anything that Satan could throw to you and I that could separate us from the love of God that He showed from the cross of Calvary, being redeemed, born again, made a new creature. I begin to think the believers' heavenly possessions. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 5. You don't have to turn there. But we've got a blessed, lively hope. Peter called it a lively hope in the book of 1 Peter. I'm glad that we have a lively hope. That's the possession that I have tonight. I've got hope. I don't have wishful thinking in something tonight. There's a lot of people that have a false hope. It's kind of like the little boy. He gave the definition of hope. He said hope is wishing for something that you know isn't going to happen. There's a lot of people that got that hope. An empty, blank, void hope. But I'm glad the hope that I have tonight, it's real. I'm glad that my hope is anchored in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's the possession that I have tonight. My hope is anchored in Jesus Christ tonight. If you're here this evening and your hope is not anchored in Him, this is as good as it gets. This is your proverbial heaven. Right here. Love your wife, love your family, love your job, love your life as long as it is, because that's as good as it gets. Because this scripture teaches that there's only two places that are going to hold the soul of man, and it's heaven and it's hell. And this is preparation time. And there's a lot of people, I was telling Emily when we was at work are talking about the stock market. It sickened me this week. That's all that I heard. It was the same. We work at the same company, and it was we was talking on our lunch. It was the same thing in her department that it was in mine. Our stock fell within our company. I believe it was Tuesday or whatever day that it really dipped down, and everyone, I think our stock dropped $2. And boy, my boss and all the big wigs were floating around there, and they were freaked out. That's all they talked about all day. And I just couldn't help but laugh within myself to think, if that's where my hope lied, if my hope lied with Cincinnati financial insurance companies, I would be of all men most miserable. But I'm glad that I'm like Brother John. I've got my eyes, I've got my heart fixed and set on another country that Jesus told them in John 14, and he told you and I, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. He said, I'm going away to prepare a place. And if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto my... That's where the hope lies. We have a possession and a hope and the price that Jesus paid. That He is coming again for those that love Him.
Amen.
That's the question. Do you love Him tonight? Peter also talked in 1 Peter 1, 4, and 5 about how we have an inheritance that is undefiled, incorruptible, where thieves can't break in and steal it. Where we don't have to worry about things rusting. You ever met these people? And you might be one of these people. I pray that you ain't. But if I step on your toes, I don't apologize. You ever met them people that just ain't satisfied with anything? They just bought the new automobile, the new pickup truck, or the new car. It's a 2011, but it's already gotten old too. Or the home ain't enough, I need something bigger. Or the job ain't enough, I need to climb up the corporate ladder. There's not enough people that respect me. You know what that boils down to? We need to pray to God that He would knock the God of I off of us. We need to be like Brother John was, the Baptist, when he said, I must decrease so that He can increase. Clothes might not be new. We live in a little shack to most people. But you know what? Me and Emily got a home. And we're happy. We're happy as a cockroach in a bag of dirty laundry. I don't need things, see, because my Father, not only that, my Father owns it all. And this word teaches me that I'm an heir to Him and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. He saved my soul from hell. That's all that I want. That's all that we need.
Amen.
You've got an inheritance. You know what else is there? My name. My name is there. I'm proud of my family. Some people ain't, but I am. I'm proud of my dad. My mom. I'm proud to be the son of Ernie. I ain't ashamed of it. I ain't most what people know. It don't matter where we're at. I don't care who's around. I've always been that way. In school or wherever, it don't matter who's around. Mom and Dad comes around, they're going to get a kiss on the cheek and a big hug because that's Mom and Dad. I've got a birth certificate at home that says on May the 20th, 1981, I was born Ernie Connie Murray. 10 pounds, 10 ounces. I ain't never looked back. I told
don't you know your body is the temple of the Lord, young man? She was serious. I know I'm a little fluffy. I said, you know, if you know me, you know me and my witness. I looked at her, I said, I know. I said, God's built a mega church. But I was born early in Honeymoor at Fort Hamilton Hughes Hospital in Hamilton, Ohio. I don't remember that.
No.
What they tell me. I just take it back this last May. I celebrated the 30th birthday. That's just, I take it, but I'm proud of that. I'm proud that I have that documentation. Proud of my bloodline,
yes,
my DNA. I've got some papers down in my office, my study, where I studied them. September the 21st, 2002, I was ordained into the ministry. I'm proud of them. I'm thankful for that. And my name's on those, and some, they had a song about Brother Charlie, and some fine men of God, some of my mentors. As your pastor, one of my mentors, Brother Roger, men that have paved the way so that I can have the opportunity and the freedoms that I have and the privileges that I have. I'm thankful for that. But see, that's not where my hope. As proud as I am of all that, that's not where my hope. That's not where my joy. That's not where my salvation lies tonight. But it lies that my name has been written down in the book. There's a lot of people that don't know me and they're not missing anything. But you know what? I'm glad that Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe, that he knows you if you have been bought by his blood, and he knows me by name. Personally, he cares for you and I. My sheep know my voice. Not a stranger. They won't follow.
No, right.
Dad, back in the homecoming here, he preached such a wonderful message on the sheep. Josh, if you will, come up here. Yeah. Mama Becca, when Dad was preaching, and Dad was preaching on the rod and staff, the rod, the word of God, the staff, the Holy Spirit. Dad used, I believe he used you, Roger. But I'm not going to do that tonight. I'm not going to be like Dad. But I'm going to use you, Josh. Dad preached, and if you just get down there, you just sit down there. Dad preached.
Yeah.
When a sheet gets turned up, it's over where it shouldn't be. But it's helpless.
Yes.
And in my studies, I began to think, and I began to read of what the shepherd will do for protection for that cast down sheep.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He'll take his rod and he'll put it on one side. Of that cast down sheep. Symbolic to the Word of God.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
He'll take his staff.
Yeah.
The physical shepherd. Mm-hmm. He'll lay it on the other side. And that shepherd will take off his cloak.
Yeah.
He'll take off the cloak. Put it on the other side. And there's one side that's still open to wolves, to danger, to anything that could come in and devour that sheep. But you know what the shepherd will do? He'll lay down beside that sheep. He'll lay down beside them. I'm glad that I've been in some bad weeds before. That I have been in some areas that I shouldn't have been in. But I'm glad that the good shepherd that knows my name, that I'm got a citizenship.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's my possession.
Yeah.
I've got a citizenship. I'm clothed. I'm glad when God clothes you, that it's just right.
Amen. That's right.
Absolutely. It fits perfect. I could put my suit coat on Dad tonight and that'd look funny. Or I'd wrap around him a couple times. But when Jesus clothes you, you don't have to get the measure and tape out. He knows the hairs of your head.
Yes. That's right.
He knows the thoughts
yes.
that you have.
Yeah, exactly.
Before you have them. He knows what your tomorrow holds in
your mind.
Amen. That's why he said to cast all of your cares upon me. Because he said, I care for you.
Yes.
Amen.
Most of all, with a hope, with an inheritance, with a name. As I read to you, as John wrote, we read about the shrewd gold walls of Jasper, gates of pearl. We sing about it. That's good.
Yeah.
We need to. But I tell you what really makes me want to know is my master's.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
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 Yes.
One glimpse.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just to take our crowns and fall down at his feet.
Yes.
And lay our crown. At his feet.
Yeah.
And sing hallelujah.
Yes.
In a country where he's not ashamed.
Amen.
To be our God.
That's right.
William Henry, and I want to come to a close. I'll be down. William Henry said this. He was born blind. Met a young lady, dated her for years. They decided to get married. In their late dating years, an engagement and getting close to the wedding, they were from England, and there was a surgery for the special blindness that he'd had, the particular blindness that he had. There was a physician that had been working and had come up with a surgery that could possibly work. That it could possibly work. He wanted to know if William Henry was willing, in other words, to be the guinea pig for that. William thought to himself, he said, well, it can get no worse. I'm blind. So he talked it over with his fiancée and he had the surgery. Had the bandages wrapped around his eyes and they were going to take them off. And he said, no. He said, my wedding day is coming up in a few days. He said, when my bride walks down the aisle, he said, I want you to remove the bandages. He said, because she's stuck with me through thick and through thin, through us dating, and she loves me like no one else loves me. He said, and if the surgery works, he said, I want her to be the first thing that I see. The wedding day came, she began to walk down the aisle and remove the bandages. And the surgery worked. He could see. And he's seeing his beautiful bride, future wife. He said, William, I said, is she beautiful? Is she grown up? He said, oh, she's so much more beautiful than what I could ever imagine.
Yeah.
We go through hardships. As Brother Roger said earlier, I can't get to where Brother Paul and Sister Brenda, as good as I love our little daughter that God has so graciously, I can't get where they're at.
Yeah.
and the valley that they're walking through. I can't get where someone that has lost their earthly father, where they're at. I don't know how they feel. Some of you that have lost spouses, Sister Edith Brock tonight, I don't know how she feels this evening. But I do know this, that no matter what we go through, no matter what fiery darts Satan throws at us, that one glimpse. Now we get eternity, but one glimpse to see Jesus' precious face will be worth every
heartache. Amen. Oh, that's right.
We have heavenly possessions.
Yes.
The question is, do you? There's no in between them.
That's right.
You either are or you're not.
Yes.
No straddling the fence. None of us that, like myself, that are Reds fans, are you on board till they're 10 games out and then you start to lose a little. Well, opening day is coming next year. There's no, it offends some, but it's the truth. I've told when I pastored four churches so often, Jesus is coming back for a bride, not a weekend girlfriend.
That's right, Jay.
Amen.
That's the truth, brother.
Amen.
I'm afraid we've got too many weekend girlfriends.
Amen.
Ooh, Jesus, I feel so good. I love you today. But then they can't find the Bible on Monday or Tuesday.
So true.
He's coming back for people that love him.
Amen.
Yeah.
Not when it's convenient, but love him all the time.
Praise God.
I love him all the time.
Amen.
I'll do everything I should do. I told the church this morning, I'm not what I should be here. Maybe last night I told them, I'm not what I should be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be.
Amen.
Amen.
You don't like something about me? Just pray to my Father that He'll just mold me and shape me and fix me up a little bit and work on that. He's still working on me.
Amen.
But there's coming a day that He's going to present us before the Father.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We've got some possessions. Do you have those tonight? If you ain't got your hope in Jesus Christ, come.
That's right.
Good. Accept Him before it's eternally too late. If you're here and you're not living for Him, come. Be like that prodigal son. Spent everything that he had out on riotous living, the Bible says. But when he decided and made up his mind and conviction set in, he come home, the Father seeing him coming from a great way off.
Yes.
You know what? I rejoice tonight. We rejoice. Come home. We need you.
That's right.
In the warfare that we're raging,
Amen.
We have heavenly possession. Church, if you stand, come get a song this evening. Have Brother Roger come to stand with us. Whatever your need is this evening. Jesus is not a pretty good way or a way of many. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. It's just so sad we live in a time where you just even mention God, everybody's got a God. And everybody's good talking about God. Everybody's good talking about their religion, their denomination, their church. But when you ask them, do you know Jesus? That's where rubber meets the road. I'm glad I've got a personal Savior tonight.
Amen.
That loves me. I've got a good woman. Brother Arnold Mathis, her grandpa, me and him was bosom buddies. Man, I loved him to death. He'd always joke with me. I'd go over to drink a cup of coffee with him that would come walking to me. It was so strong. And Emmy Joe, he called her. He called me J-Man all the time. He'd say, J-Man,
He said, "You got Emmy, Joe." He said, "You outmarried yourself." I'd look at him, I'd say, "You're right, Arnold, I did. I married up." But I'm thankful for my wife. We're one. We ain't two, we're one. And I love you. I'll be humble and love you. You mess with her, I'll get mean real quick. And not have to repent about it a bit. Because that's my baby. That's my mama. I can't believe he'd say that. They, some of you men, you need to say that about that lady sitting next to you. Marriage is a holy thing that God made. I'm thankful for that woman. She's been there for me. She is there for me. And she will be there for me. And the same as me for her. But you know what? There's times that we have to go our separate ways, Raj, and she can't be there. She would want to be, but sometimes she hasn't been able to be there. But I'm glad that I serve one tonight. No matter the times that I failed him, and it's daily, that he's not one time failed me. He's never hard of hearing. He never gets offended at something that happened 15 or 20 years ago and not talking to me anymore. He don't hold a grudge. And if anybody could be a grudge holder, it could be God. But he loves us for who we are. If you're here and you don't know him tonight, the invitation's open. If you're here and you're not living for him, come. Fight the good fight with us as we sing. Whatever your need is tonight, Jesus is the answer.
The Lord is your Savior. Now is a good time to make that move. It's not just what you can have on this side, it's what He's promised us on the other side as well. How about it tonight? How is your heart? Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? Do you know Him? Maybe you know him, but you need to go back. Listen to what this chorus says. I must tell Jesus. Yes, tell him who knows all things. For what it is that you stand in need of. He'll help you. Yes. All these burdens alone. Yes. Bless you, Sister Violet. Amen. Some of you ladies come in and pray with her about that burden. I know she's caring for her granddaughter and for her aunt, for all of them. It's upon her heart. Others that need to move tonight. You know what you've got waiting on the other side. For those that have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. But sometimes we just can't live for tomorrow, but we got to live for today. And what He's given us for right now, at this time in our life. Because you see, I believe that God is a God that provides our needs each day. What we stand in need of for that day only. Tomorrow, He's got a whole new set of things for us. Won't you follow your heart tonight? Follow your heart. You know exactly where you stand with God. Yes. Help them sing this chorus real loud tonight, because this is where our help comes from. Yes. Jesus. I must tell Him. Burdens alone. You enjoyed the message tonight. Beautiful, beautiful word from the Lord. We thank God for it. And just like Jay, I'd have to say that most of us men married up, wouldn't y'all? Men? Ain't that true? And every once in a while, they'll remind us of it too, Ron. They'll remind us of it. I thank the Lord for life, for all that He's given us, for such a church and friends that we have met along life's way. And I just don't know if I could imagine what our lives would be like without each other. The grand old church, people that we've worshiped with for so many years. And I feel sorry for people that don't have a church. People that don't have family that they can lean upon and worship with and just have a good time. Family's not just there for bad times. We're there for the good times, to rejoice. And a few weeks ago, I told a church that I got called. I had a Tuesday after Paul David died. I got called to another family, went down to visit with them, and their mother passed away. And it was just a family there. And I mean, the circumstances were sad. Dirt poor people. And just the family was there. They had nobody else they could call upon. No friends. No church. Just nobody that they could count on. And I thought, my goodness, just when you think everybody has it just like we do, Jay. It's an eye-opener that there's people out there that don't have what God has blessed us with in each other. Even at times when we get upset with each other. Amen.